morning, we're going to go back over in this life of faith. We've been talking about Abraham. Last week, the Holy Ghost led me in a different direction concerning Abraham and dealing with him. We were over in the book of Romans, the fourth chapter last week reading. If you remember that, Romans, the fourth chapter, we had been there for a while reading about Abraham. And in verse 17, I'm going to go back over there and then we'll join in. We'll look at some other scriptures here. But it says, as it is written in verse 17, the fourth chapter, verse 17, as it is written, I've made you the father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that don't exist as though they did. Who contrary to hope and hope believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since it was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him as righteousness. And so we need to understand that. Is, you know, without faith you can't please God. Faith is what makes us righteous or right before God. You are not right before God because you came to church. You're not right before God because you read the Bible. You are not right before God because you pray. You are right before God by your faith. Many people pray. Many people do things of so-called worship God, do all kinds of things religiously, but never operate in the areas of faith. They never go there. They don't have confidence in God. You know, you go to churches today, and they will tell you that the Bible isn't, you know, it has good things in it, but, you know, it's not all real. You can't believe it. You can't take that stuff literally. You can't do that. They don't have any faith. Now, they will tell you that they have faith. They always will. If you say they don't have faith, they get madder than a hornet. They do have faith. They have faith in false doctrine and false spirits that they listen to. And they believe that stuff that they tell them. They listen. They have that. But they don't have faith in God. Understand this. The New Testament teaches on the subject of faith. There's only one kind of faith. Bible faith. Anything outside of believing what the Bible says, the Word of God calls it unbelief. Israel, it shows us, Israel was in unbelief. Israel didn't enter into the promised land because of unbelief. You ask them if they believe with the Bible? Yeah. I mean, they stood at the mountain. They said, God, if we believe your word's right and anything you say, we'll do it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they got over there to go in. And the Bible tells us they didn't enter. Why? For unbelief. They didn't believe what the Bible said. If they'd have believed what it said, they'd have went in the land when God told them to go in. And so we need to understand that. We need to get a hold of the fact it's about faith. Knowing scriptures is not faith. Believing scriptures and acting upon them is faith. Knowing scriptures is not faith. I don't care if you can quote the Bible. That don't mean you have faith. So we need to understand, without faith we can't please God. Abraham pleased God. And we found out Abraham came along. God told Abraham to go into a land. He had never been there before. He had never seen the place. He couldn't go to the Travel Channel and watch videos of it. He couldn't do that kind of thing. Abraham didn't know where he was going. Abraham was not a man who was poor. He had servants and all kinds of stuff, and he had a lot of them. He didn't have a couple. Abraham was not a poor man living out there, and God made him rich. God made him richer where he took him, but he wasn't poor going there. Abraham believed God, and he was willing. He didn't look at his wealth as where he was at. He believed God and said, God said he wants me over here. Yeah, but I really got it good here. Oh, see, many people, this is what they do. Well, my blessing, oh, I got all this good stuff here. God's blessed me. He don't want me to go over there because here's I'm being blessed. Oh, I don't want to go over there. I want to go over that place, man. What? Why? No, this is my blessing here. I'll tell you, sometimes some people's blessings, they're a curse. Because what they call a blessing is what keeps them away from doing the will of God, from going into God's best. And so we need to understand that you want to enter into God's best. You want to enter into His place. Abraham entered into the place of God's best. And there's one thing. When you ever enter into God's best, you need to understand this. God's best is the place where it doesn't just bless you. This is why so many people got to pray all the time about their families and all that stuff and all the constant, just trying to cover. They're doing that because they're not in God's best. You enter into God's best. Abraham did. And what did God say? God said, I'm going to bless your offspring. He blessed them when they acted like heathens. We have so much unbelief taught in the church today of how to pray. The Lord gave me some messages I'm going to start ministering in. I'm going to teach you how to get over in the area of the Spirit. And some of you have been praying for long times about things and have never been in faith in it. And you think you are. But you've never come through the door of faith. You've never been there. You've never been there. And I'm not knocking anybody, but people don't know how to get into things in the Spirit. Faith's in the realm of the Spirit. And you got to hook up in the Spirit realm to walk by faith. Abraham believed God. He went over there. Everything in the natural says, this is crazy, going over that place. God goes, I'm going to send you over there. I'm going to give your descendants this land. Get over there. And this man ain't got no descendants. And then God tells him, God goes along. God's building this thing with this man, what he's going to do with this man. He makes a man a promise. I'm going to give you a child. Abraham believes this. We read the scriptures. This guy believes this. He's an old man. 75 years old, he gets the promise. It doesn't show up till he's 100 years old. But Abraham changes. He said he didn't consider his own body. We talked about in dealing with the areas with your flesh last week. We got flesh problems. You need to understand this. If you can't deal with your flesh, you will never go to spiritual maturity. The lowest level of satanic temptation is your flesh. That's the lowest level. If you can't overcome the lowest level, you will never reach a higher level. Because there's higher levels of temptation. The devil don't have to get a big gun out to get most people. He can get them with their flesh. We see in Jesus three types of temptation. The first one the devil dealt with him was the flesh. It was food. God sent him on a fast and the devil said, hey, you're hungry, you better eat. Most people would have said, you're right. The devil wouldn't have had to get a big gun out. He wouldn't have had to do it. Now you need to understand this. The Bible says this about temptation. God will not allow any temptation to come to you that you can't overcome. If that is a true statement, then that means if we fell to temptation, it was our own fault. If we got overcome, you can't say the devil did it, the devil this, This is one of the most horrible things why it just upsets me like crazy. And they just say, well, today it's so hard for the young people because of all the temptation. God said in His Word, there is no temptation that I will allow to come on you that you can't overcome, that I will not provide a way out. He said that. When's the church going to believe it? This one thing I know, most major ministries don't believe it at all. And I'm talking about Spirit-filled ministry. Because they keep preaching, oh, these guys, these young people just have it so tough. No, they don't. Flesh is flesh. And flesh left out of control follows things. And the reason it does is because it loves the flesh. It loves what the flesh wants. Let's get real about it. Hey, we need to get ourselves in line. Let's get, we quit playing. I don't want to play no more religious games. I don't play this stupidity stuff anymore. If God said He wouldn't allow temptation to come on me, that I couldn't get through, the way it wasn't provided for me to get out, if He said that, well, that's true. And if Ed trips up, then it's Ed's fault. It ain't God and it ain't the devil. It's Ed. I was so glad because I listened to Kenneth Hagin's teaching as a young Christian. I learned to take responsibility for myself. Most Christians have never learned that. We talk about temptation and we talk about these things. But do I believe what the Bible says? See, when it comes down and I point the finger at me, that changes everything of how I'm going to deal with it. When it comes around a thing, Ed's a problem. That's what God taught me in the beginning. Every time I looked at something I thought was a problem, He always turned it to me, no, you're a problem. Most of the time it was a problem. I had the problem in the area how to get a renewed mind because it's how I thought about problems. I always looked outwardly at problems and not inwardly. I always saw problems from the outside. I always saw what was going on the outside. I saw all the things going on. I'll never forget the day when he told me. He said, "You're like a doctor that only treats symptoms." He was so kind to me. I don't see where these people get all this, "Gee, God speaks so sweet to me all the time." He never did that to me. He'd always say, "You know, you're like a doctor, never treats symptoms." I say, "Well, thank you. That was really nice. You're a big help." I know you guys never think that way because God's always, you're just, you know, so good and you just never do anything. But he'd talk to me, he'd tell me, but you know what? Those things are what changed my life. I began to look at, yeah. I'm looking at what's around me. I'm praying about what I see going on. I see the problem. I'm praying about what I see in the outside. And then I'd find out that wasn't the problem at all. Lots of times it was my view of the problem. My view. I'd get over in the spirit a little bit and find out sometimes I was praying about stuff wasn't no problem at all. I didn't even have to deal with it. I didn't even have to touch it. But I thought it was some big thing. See, people don't know most of the time what's a big deal and what's not a big deal. They ain't got a clue. Most people go under on the things they think are important. That's how they go under. Because they don't know. Because they're like a doctor that only treats symptoms. You know, so I had to learn those things. I had to learn, really, it's in the area of faith, walking by faith. Faith's of the heart or of the spirit. It's in the spirit realm. And so that's truth. God's word's truth. If God's word's true, it's true about the spirit realm. Its operation, the word of God, is for the realm of the spirit. It can change things in the natural, but its operation is in the spirit. Faith is a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. That's why people have a hard time walking by faith, because you can't measure it to what you see on the outside. Because, like Abraham, man, he said at 75, I thought there was a chance, but now I'm a 99 years old and there ain't no kid. And you know what the doctors say? The kid would be a complete idiot if you're born at 70 or 75. Well, now we know he's going to be a complete vegetable. Well, you know what the doctor said? I remember as a kid, and there was a woman who was in her, she was like in her 60s, and she got pregnant, going to have a child. And I'll never forget in church, hearing all the gossip of all these wonderful, oh, that child, all this. That child was born completely normal, grew up just absolutely fine in spite of all them unbelieving, ungodly Christians. And the woman was happy about having the child. Dear Lord, you'd think somebody here, well, she's too old to have a baby. Hear Christians saying stuff like that. I just want to give you a nice word for you. Shut up. You should be confessing good things over her, not saying dumb things. You know, it's just because some stupid doctor got a PhD and whatever else after his name, just because he's an idiot, I ain't joining him. And we do. Thank God, I'm glad Abraham didn't have clinics to go to. Probably helped him a lot. Can you imagine taking Sarah down the clinic when she got pregnant? I could just see that. Oh, it's probably a tumor. I ain't no baby in there, dear Lord. hallelujah. But Abraham wasn't moved by what was happening in the flesh. In the flesh, look at the temptation that he has not to believe. But he chose rather, this is what the promise of God says. God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. He said, call his wife from Sarai to Sarah, the mother of a multitude. To get them both talking in the right direction, viewing themselves as something different. We talked about this. You've got to begin to speak about yourself and say what God calls you, what God calls you. Quit calling yourself sick. God calls you healed. You keep running around telling people how sick you are and all the problems you got and saying all that stuff. You're saying those things. The Bible says, you know, like, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Hallelujah. How many of you here go around telling people you're rich? Oh, isn't that amazing? We faith people. Oh, now tomorrow if somebody gave you $1 million, you'd run around telling everybody you're rich. See, you don't know nothing about faith. You ain't going to say it till it happens. Any demon-possessed person can do that. Well, I'll tell you, this money, this economy, it's not easy. Boy, I tell you, it's tough. Ed's rich. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm like Abraham. Don't look at my bank account to find that out, because you'll be running around saying, that Ed's an idiot. He's a liar. And I'm going to tell you, Ed's rich. Ed's rich. Hallelujah. See, you got to get over saying, Abraham. Abraham is our picture. The Bible, if he's the father of faith, then he's our image that God gave us of how to walk by faith. Hallelujah. Here's a man. Now, he's in a world that most people don't even know God hardly. Not much revelation of God at all. And this man's walking this way, doing this, believing this. See, Ed's never going to say, it's just too hard for me. Oh, it's hard to walk by faith. I hear people say, oh, it's hard to walk by faith. Well, you'll never walk by it. It ain't hard to walk by faith. It's hard living in the flesh. I lived 30 years in the flesh, and it was a hard life. It was a hard life. It was killing me and sending me to hell is what it was doing. This ain't no hard life. Hallelujah. Praise God. If Abraham can believe God, and he wasn't even born again, Ed can sure believe God. Ed will not give himself an excuse not to. I have no excuse. If Abraham could believe the promise that he'd have a child, and they didn't get it till she was 90 and he was 100, I have no excuse by believing God. I have no excuse whatsoever. If you give yourself whatever amount of excuse you will give yourself, you will take every bit of it and more. I will guarantee you. You will. I know the flesh. I got it. I know about my flesh. If I give my flesh an inch, it will take a yard. If I give it a yard, it'll go a mile. That's the way it is. And you got to learn to rein it in. And it's one of the things that will help you immensely is beginning to confess and saying the right things. Begin speaking the right stuff. Saying the right things about yourself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Speaking. Hallelujah. People talk about having fixed incomes. People have not only fixed incomes, they have fixed health. It's fixed. Because they keep talking bad about it. It's fixed. They're sick and they're going to stay that way. They fix themselves and their family lives about what's going on in their family, about their children. They'll pray for their children, but their confessions and really what they say about their kids, it's fixed. Now, you can fix it for good or fix it for bad. Ever how you want to fix it. Whatever you want to fix, it's up to you how you want to fix it. But it's going to be by you changing. You know, if God would speak to me and told me that he'd bring my whole family in because I walked with him and I did what he wanted me to do. You know what he wanted me to do? He wanted me to climb Mount Everest and offer my children as sacrifices on top of it. I walked by faith. That's what he wanted me to do. He was happy I walked by faith. I was trusting him. He said, because you trust me, what did he tell Abraham? He promised Abraham the blessing on his descendants, and he hadn't offered Isaac. He promised that to him when he went by faith into the land. Many Christians got born again, but never even come into the land by faith. They're still outside with the children of Israel looking in. They ain't moved into the land. They're waiting to get into it one day. Go into the land. Hallelujah. Move. Move over into the land. Hallelujah. It's good preaching anyhow. If you listen to these things, you get a hold of them, it'll change how you believe and how you think of things operating and going on. You won't have fears and stuff about your kids and all this kind of stuff. Because if you got fears about things, then you're a problem in the situation. And I'm not trying to be mean, but you are. Fear is going to cause trouble. Fear is going to allow trouble to come. You want to get out of there. That's why you want to step over in the land of faith. That's in the spirit. And in the spirit realm, you get to see the truth. The truth is what makes you free. If you're in fear, you're not in truth. You get in to the land of the Spirit. There is no fear in God's kingdom. There's no fear there. You get to see the way it really is. You won't be afraid. The doctor says, you're going to die. I say, ha, I'm sorry. I just visited the clinic in the land of the kingdom, and I got a report for you. I saw it. I saw me healed. I saw me well. I know it. I've seen it. See, most people, what they stand outside the kingdom. They're looking, trying to see through the door when somebody else goes in and out. But they don't ever go over in there and walk in that place. They don't ever see. That's why their faith stays so minimal. You got to get in there. And you do that by faith. Abraham's place of faith was to move out of the land, to go over to this land that he hadn't seen. And he said, I'm going there. God said, you know, because you're going there, I'm going to bless your descendants. Pray. I'll tell you what, they're going to have this land. You're going to change the world, Abraham. The whole world, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed because you went to the land. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if the church today would go to the land, we could turn America around. We're trying to get God to change America without us going to the land. We want to live like the world. We want to walk like the world. We want to have what the world got. Hallelujah. Go get in the land. My God, what's there? Hallelujah. Don't preach me happy. Glory to God. I'll tell you what. I want to see things in the land. I have seen in this world all I want to see. I've seen enough. Hallelujah. I want to look over in that land. Abraham was a man of faith. Now I want to talk about it. We're going to look here at Abraham. I want you to understand this. Abraham, we're going to talk about Abraham offering Isaac. Now we're taking a jump. The child was born, but we want you to understand this. God didn't take Abraham and start him off and learn teaching him to walk by faith. One day, tell him about the kid. The next day the kid's born, let's go, you go sacrifice him. You know, God built Abraham's faith. Abraham learned to walk by faith. He learned to do it. On the promise, he stood for 25 years on the promise of a son. He stood for 25 years. Abraham walked by faith for 25 years on what he knew that God told him to do, and he did it. Along the way, God had him do different things, spoke to him and do different things, and he followed them and he did them. But he learned. God taught him to obey him. There is no such thing as you obeyed God and you didn't get blessed. That never happened. I know somebody that believes such and such and it didn't happen to them. No, it didn't. They didn't believe God. Abraham's the pattern. We have no pattern of Abraham obeying God and God didn't bless him. There's no such thing in the pattern. So I'm not going to believe anything any man says about it. So I'll just take what people don't even know what faith is who say things like that to me. Because I have to follow the pattern of the Bible. I can't measure it up to human beings. If the Bible says it's this way, then it's that way. There is no other way. There's no other way than the Word. If you can show it to me in the Word, I might believe you. But you're going to have to show it to me in the Word. Now, I know this. Sometimes you might have to stand a while. There's one thing is you're going to learn this. To mature in faith. Maturity in faith does not mean things come easier. From the standpoint, they necessarily happen quicker. You need to understand this. See, most people think, if I arrive to this great level of faith, then I just make things happen real quick and that stuff. Not necessarily. Because number one, there is no maturity of faith without patience. If everything ever happened instantly for you, you'd never have to use patience. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to use patience. You're living in a world of opposition. You have an enemy called the devil, and he has a lot of friends. He has a lot of friends and all his little cohorts and all these demons. And there ain't like 27 of them. I don't know how many there are, but there's huge amounts because there's enough to torment everybody on earth a lot. So there's a lot of them. And they're out here. And they're going to try to work against you to get you to stop believing what the Word says, but follow how you feel, what you think about it, how somebody else said about it, you know, whatever else is going on. You're going to have that going on. You're going to have those kinds of things happen. Abraham's following something for 25 years. He doesn't have the child. It doesn't come along. The child doesn't come along. He's walking by faith. God said he's going to give him a child. He just keeps trucking along. Calls himself Abraham. Like I said, people making fun of him for 25 years. This poor guy, you're walking on. Poor man, now he's called himself a father of multitude. Do you hear, guys? last night he changed his wife's name and now we got to call her the mother of him. Oh, man, this guy has gone. Dear Lord. Oh, my words. I guess the juice went and turned and now it's wine and he's been hitting it and he's been drinking a lot, I guess. I don't know. Something's going on. But they're going. I know they're getting up in age and their mind's starting to go right now, you know, and they're thinking weird. And so, you know, I can imagine what was going on. I mean, I know human nature. I know from faith, so-called faith people. I mean, you let somebody talk as something out of the ordinary, and they're the first ones lots of times to be talking opposite of what, oh, did you hear what they're trying to do? Did you hear that? See, we got to watch ourselves. Abraham stayed in a direction and didn't move. People act like, you know, because the Bible don't tell us about all the opposition, there wasn't any. You need to understand this to have enough sense. It has never changed. Humanity has never changed from the beginning. They got so rotten, God had to move them off the earth in less than 2,000 years. You think it's bad today? They lived in worse times. Oh, it's just so bad today. It's just bad. Just so bad. Why? People say that because of their unbelief. Just so bad. Just can't. I wouldn't have any children today because it's just so, this world out here, I don't know if I'd have any kids. No faith in God. You know, God can't take care of your kids. We pray for our children. Well, you're wasting your time because you don't think this is a world a child should be in. Because God ain't big enough to take care of them here. Good preaching, folks. Good preaching. Good preaching. See, we need to get around thinking. People are doing, you know, the faith people have left faith. They believe they're doing, they believe they're following the faith stuff, but they're not. They believe they're following faith things. They're not following faith things. They follow fear. Whatever the world says, and this is what, oh, look what's going on out here. Oh, man. It's a shame. But anyhow, we have this guy Abraham. Now, Abraham comes along, and we find out really is an area, and I want you to read from, go over to the book of Hebrews, back to the 11th chapter, because there's something there. We're not going to read through all of the Hebrews thing there in chapter 17, but I just want to read you this there about Abraham, because this is the foundation of what we're looking at here in faith. And it says this in verse 17, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested. Now I want you to understand this. This is not tempted, this is tested. Abraham is going to be tested by God. Tested. You need to understand this. I guarantee you, as sure as you're going to be, you become a Christian, God is going to test you along the way. Not tempt you. We're not talking about temptation to sin. We're going to talk about being tempted. God is going to offer you things to walk in a level of faith above where you're at, and He's going to test you to see if you'll walk in it. This is why most people's faith does not grow, is because they don't like tests. You know, they always leave school and don't show up test days. They don't like them. They don't like the pressure. They don't like the pressure. God constantly tests me. One of the things that I just tell you, like I grew up in the areas, I asked God to teach me. I wanted to understand healing. He's led me a lot in that area. I wanted to understand how to walk in divine health, how divine healing works. I didn't want just information about it. I wanted to know how it worked. I wanted to know how to flow in this thing and how to walk in it. I wanted to know what to do. God began to test me in areas. I would, you know, He would teach me certain things in the Word, and He'd teach me. Then we would always have a test day. Understand this about tests. Tests are to prove to you what you know. If people say, I don't do well in tests, then you don't do well in life. I want you to know that. I don't like tests. I like tests. Tests prove to me whether I'm in faith or not. I have no place to prove of whether where I'm at. I don't have, How do you know? How do you know where your faith is in a certain area if you haven't been tested or tried out in it? How do you know where the areas of where you're at in finances unless you get tested in it? God, one of the first things that he ever tested me in was the areas of money. He told me to give away all the money we had. That was a test. You know why? Because I'm over here believing God for finances. He wants to teach me over there, so he does this. Why don't you give all your money away? That was the test. I will guarantee you, I wouldn't have learned about finances if I wouldn't have done it. See, many people, God's telling them to do certain things, but they're not doing it, and then they wonder why they never go to certain levels. Healing is identical. I learned it this way. If things would go along and happen, number of times I had, like we say, with my children, like something would happen, and God would test me. And how he would test me? I always learned this. When something happens, something serious happens, I don't go through the panic, let's get 911, let's get a, you know, most people do that. They try and do everything you do to take care of everything naturally. Then we'll pray and ask God and let's pray. And really, that's one of the reasons why people fail at these things. I learned this from the time of being young. The first thing you do, first thing I'll do if something comes up, man, I go to the inside. God, what do I need to do? Constantly I found this. This is the areas where God would test me. God would say to me, well, if you take them to the hospital, God did this to me a number of times. If you take them to the hospital, you see, if they go to the doctor, this is what's going to happen if they go. Now, if you believe me, you can believe me, and you don't have to go through that. And then what he'd always... It was always the thing. Which way do you want to go? The test there. What do you want to be tested or not? Do you want to go for this over in the realm of spirit? He'd ask me. I never felt at any time there was any accusation in it. He's coming. You know, he'd say, basically, it was like, you got the choice. You choose. See, most people will, well, if I got the choice, let's go the easiest way. What is easiest for my flesh? That's where I'm going. Your flesh can't grow. Your flesh ain't got. Your flesh is going to dominate you. Your spirit, you'll never grow spiritually. And I knew this: if God told me that I could go a certain direction, then I can go there. I can. God would never tell me to believe. God would have never told me to give all my money if I was going to run out of money. He would have never ever said that, because then he'd be a liar and a fraud. He would be my problem, not my help. If he told me to do it, and I do it, it has to work. Abraham's the pattern. Abraham. I can't find where Abraham, I believe God any place, and it didn't work. I can't find it. It ain't in the book. And he's the father of faith. He's the father of my faith, the Bible says. He always did it. And so I learned. Take the test. You have a choice. You want the easy way out? Or do you want to stand over here? Do you want to, what's easy, the flesh? Or do you want to stay in my faith? I learned this over time. The way of faith was much easier than the way of the flesh. Much easier. Way easier than what people were going. You know, I've heard, I remember going, well, you know, people see about going to the doctor. Man, I tell you what, most people going to the doctor's hell. It's much harder going to the doctor all the time about stuff. What people suffer and what they go through. Now, I'm not against doctors, but people have this idea that somehow it's easier. I had a minister tell me this one time. A guy, you know, he's a Rhema graduate, said to me, well, I get a headache. It's just easier to take the aspirin. I looked at him and said, man, I hope you never get cancer, because we're going to be burying you, you dummy. It's easier to take an aspirin? I'll tell you what, I can stop a headache quicker than he ever could. I don't care if he takes the whole bottle of aspirin or Tylenol or what he does. I will guarantee you my headache will be over a long time before his does. Because God gave me tests, and if you will follow the tests, and I'm saying, follow the tests. If God gives you a test, that means you can do it. He didn't tell Abraham to do something here that Abraham cannot do. He is telling Abraham to do something that Abraham is totally qualified to believe and carry out. It would be a sin for God to test you in something you have not been taught in. He couldn't do that. That's like going to school, you know. And they take a math, you know, test from, you know, the senior high school and they go down and give it to the third graders. Well, what's a third grader going to do? That's not fair. I mean, that's not a test. That's absolute stupidity. God, when God tells you something, He knows you can do it. He knows it. He knows that fact. Don't mean you're going to do it. You might have no faith that you can do it. But see, I know that I can do it, not because Ed is strong and Ed's powerful. I know that if God told me, He will do what He said. I'm always not sure about Ed. Abraham didn't do everything perfect in the land, but everything God told him to do, he did. You need to understand that. This ain't about perfection. It's about doing what God said. My faith makes me perfect. My actions ain't always perfect, but my faith is. That's how you're righteous by faith. You're not righteous by actions. You're righteous by faith. You follow them out. So Abraham was tested, and in that test, he offered up Isaac. And it says, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Isaac is the promise of God. Now listen, this guy has become so confident with God that, and understand, listen about this, Isaac. It says, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. In other words, God said this. If you went over to, I think it's Genesis the 21st chapter, I think in verse 12, it makes that statement there where God told Abraham that in Isaac your seed's called. And that's when God told Abraham, you listen to your wife and you put Ishmael and Hagar out because they are not your descendants. That was man trying to fulfill the plan of God. And I'm not talking about just Abraham. His wife is the one that said, why don't you have a child, you know, through my bondservant? But you know who God held responsible for that? Abraham. He's the guy in charge. See, wives, quit trying to control everything. Because God is going to hold you responsible for it. See, it's men, we ought to take our place. Men, we need to learn to do this stuff. You know, these things were written in the Bible for a purpose. You know, we don't have, you know, the junk that they teach in the world today about marriage. That's why marriage don't work today. That's why people get divorced. And that's why Christians divorce as much as the world, because they have marriages just like the world. It's identical. It's identical to it. You know, well, everybody got 50-50. No, they don't. I'm sorry. I'm held accountable for things my wife's not held accountable for. If I'm held for accountable for it, I'm going to have the say on it. Excuse me. Excuse me. And see, everybody wants. I want what I have to say, but I don't have to be accountable for it. Somebody else is. I'm sorry. God don't play that game. I learned a long time ago. And God would say, no, it's your fault, Ed. But I want to blame somebody else. No, that's what you're in charge of. Hallelujah. I got enough with my responsibility. I ain't going to get yours. Hallelujah. You know, the worst thing you can do is try to usurp authority over somebody else. Ain't, I'll tell you what, there's nothing but confusion, fighting, and carrying on, nothing but problems. That's all it is. I can always tell it. People trying to usurp authority over each other. That's all it is. And everybody wants to be in charge, but nobody wants to be responsible. I'll tell you what, if my family don't work, it's his fault. Get over it. And, you know, but you don't want to, you know, you don't want to, somebody in the family don't want to be trying to cause it to go under, messing with it. Because I tell you, it ain't going to be a pretty thing. That's why a lot of people, things don't work out for them. You find out it affects your health, it affects all kinds of stuff. And you want to walk right in these areas. But in Isaac, his seed's called. What does it say about him in verse 19? It said, this is something that Abraham concluded. Now, this is Abraham's conclusion. Now, I want you to understand this. There's two areas of wisdom in this world. You need to understand, if you're going to walk by faith and live by faith in this natural realm, there's two reasonings in this world. There is the wisdom of faith, and there's the wisdom of this world, the way things are naturally. Now, sorry to say, this is not, most people are, their wisdom that they're trying to use to determine things spiritually is the wisdom of the world. You know, Paul prayed for the church at Corinth for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. A spirit of wisdom. I want to say this to you. much of the church world today, and even in the so-called spirit-filled realm, doesn't have it. Because they're judging things not by the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Look at, we're going to see Abraham. Abraham is going to make a decision based on the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He's going to make a decision. He makes a decision based on that. Not on what the doctor said, not on the way things go. Things didn't change back then, you know. People say, you know, have all kind of things. Oh, back then people lived longer, blah, 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 blah. When Abraham was 100, he was called an old man. See, people need to get over it, man. There's so much craziness. Abraham's going to make a decision. Abraham has a son. Now, the first thing we get here is they tell us, Abraham has this promise, and the promise is what? In Isaac, your seed shall be called. God says, you go take Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. This is Abraham's wisdom. This is what Abraham concluded, not God. Abraham concluded this. Why? Because he had wisdom. He's operating not in earthly wisdom. His wisdom is based upon God's promise. Here's his wisdom, concluding that God was able to raise him up or raise him from the dead. Even from dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. When God told Abraham to offer his son, Abraham knew this about God. God had to keep his promise. If he sacrificed his son, God had to raise him from the dead because God said he was the one that all the heirs are coming through. So God had to. See, that's for human reasoning. People would, you know, just like when God told me, you give all your money away. If I would have thought about that from natural human reasoning, I would have done it. But you know what? I had learned enough about God. I was a young Christian at that time. I wasn't born again, not even a year. I was a young Christian at that time when God told me to do that. But I had learned enough about His promises being true and seen enough of how God works to know that if God told me to do that, He was going to have to take care of me. The problem that I was concerned about is whether Wanda would choke me or not. But she looked at me and said, and I said, God told me to put all of our money in this offering. And she said, well, if He told you, then do it. Hallelujah. And most guys would never be able to do their wife and say, what's wrong with you, crazy thing? You, what's wrong with you? That's my money too. Woo! Preaching good, brother. Preaching good, brother. You don't get to make all choices around here. Good preaching. Folks, this stuff affects people's faith and why it don't work. God can't lead people to great faith. He can't lead them there. He can't take them there because they're too busy trying to control. They're afraid somebody else is going to make a decision. No, I'll make all the decisions for my life. Well, I'm going to tell you what. God shot me and that out from under my feet a long time ago. I was going to make the decisions. He told me one time, he told me to do a certain thing, and I said, well, what if Wanda doesn't like that? He said, who am I talking to, you or Wanda? He said, you're going to answer to me on this thing. Oh, boy, no, we're going to have this nice little seminar on marriage, and it's always 50-50, and you have to agree before you do it. And I'm sorry, God don't agree with these marriage seminars. If they haven't found out that these marriage seminars don't work by now, when the preachers can't stay married that are doing them, something's wrong! I have never needed a marriage seminar. Think of some of the dumbest things in the world. The only reason they're for backslidden people that can't keep things working. Now look, let's get right. That's what it's about. If you follow God, read the Bible, you're going to live right. You don't need a special seminar. Oh no. Now, we need to talk this stuff hard today. You know, and the reason we do is because it's gotten over in left field so far. It takes real boldness, and it's going to have to be a strong message to bring it even back to the middle. Because I tell you, divorce is an okay thing in the church today. It's all right. Just go ahead and do it. We got a ministry for you. You go, just go do it, and we'll have this ministry over here, and that's kind of, you know, and we'll just, you know, hold it. God ain't big enough to fix marriages today. He ain't big enough. Now, sometimes you get a part. Somebody don't want to fix a marriage. Somebody don't want to do it. You can't do it. But loads of them, that ain't the trouble. They don't even want it fixed. They don't want things fixed. They want it the way they want it, how they want it, way they want it. I know I lived that way. I wanted it Ed's way. Me and Frank Sinatra. I'm just glad that I got saved before, you know, it didn't go off into hell like he did, singing the song, and he did it his way. And I tell you what, he's sorrowful today. He did it his way. Ed was living his way, singing the song. But we see, now when we see this, see, Abraham's wisdom is considered crazy. It's crazy, the world. God offers. Most of the church world stumbles at what this event that took place. They stumble. All they talk about Abraham's great faith of going there. But most people, I've heard ministers say, well, God never asked you to do such a thing. God asks people to do things all the time, testing their faith, and they don't do it. They don't do it. I mean, we have the guy in the where Jesus talked to, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus. Jesus said, sell everything you got, give it to the poor, come and follow me. He says, no, he flunked the test. Because he came to Jesus and said, hey man, I follow the word. I tell you, I'm a guy that follows. I believe what the word says. Yes, I follow the word. Oh, I believe it. I've done all, oh man, I'm a tither. I do all this stuff. Jesus says, great, go sell what you got, give the poor, and come and follow me. And you find out, the guy lied about the whole thing. He didn't do none of that. He said he loved his stuff. But Jesus put a test on him, and he flunked the test. He didn't realize he could have gone, how far he could have gone, what he may have become had he been willing to do that. He could have been a world changer. See, we all become world changers. Hallelujah. If Abraham's faith made him a world changer, our faith would make us a world changer also. But we decide, do we want to go as far as Abraham? I want you to go over to Genesis because I want you to see this about Abraham. Because see, Abraham came to the place of believing God. He came to the place that God tested him in this thing. And in the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter. And we're going to see something because we want to see how Abraham talks and what he does. We're going to find out sometimes it's best not to tell anybody anything when you're walking in faith, because sometimes some people will turn around and you're, you know, the best of the bunch will be speaking against you. Sometimes walking in faith is enough keeping you straight without telling everybody else and having them hounding you. You got enough with the devil hound you. He has enough, you know, demons to do that. You don't have to add people to the list that are going to give you a hard time. But I want you to see this about Abraham. Abraham came to this place. See, Abraham is operating on a wisdom, not of men. He so believes in the promise of God that if God says, sacrifice your son, he said he has to raise him from the dead. Why? God becomes a liar. Doesn't keep his promise. Because God can't say, look, I'll give you another son. You can't do that, God. You told me that in this guy, this Isaac guy, in him is all this blessings coming. In him. He's going to be the one. So God has no alternative than if he obeys God, God must raise him from the dead. What would Jesus have had coming down here if his father's a liar and a scoundrel and says, well, you know, they put him to death, but let's not raise him from the dead. Let's just let him go. What do you think? You need to understand, nobody has. This is why sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no. See, we ought to take people to say that, you know, slap them, not to hurt them, but to wake them up. Say, do you realize what you said? God made a promise, but he's a liar. Now, you tell me God's a liar, he's not going to do it. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. If God made the promise, see, God wants us to understand these things so you will follow what Abraham did, that you can count on God's promise. If he said he would do something for you or he promised something in his word, that he is going to do that for you. God wants you to walk in faith. He wants you to be assured that he will do it for you. He wants you to be totally assured of that. Abraham, so this will revolutionize your thinking if you go to this place. Because all rational thinking, understand, faith is not naturally rational at all. There's no rationale to it. I've heard people say, yeah, about staying in faith. Well, I've heard a person raise it. Well, that's okay for you. But that's not for everybody. No, yes, it is. It's for everybody, but you won't receive it, so you can't have it. But anybody that receives what's true will receive it, can have it. Anybody. Abraham has walked with God. God's made a promise. Abraham says, you know what? He asked me to sacrifice his son. I can do it because he's going to have to raise him from the dead. In other words, God's going to have to do a biggie here. He's going to have to do a biggie here. This is going to have to be a biggie. But you know what? Abraham is so sure of God. Listen what happens. We go to the story of Abraham doing this. Genesis, the 22nd chapter, verse 1, it starts off, it says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. This is not the devil. This is God testing Abraham. The devil's not. It's not the devil trying to kill his kid. It's God testing Abraham because you know what? Abraham's going to change the world. Abraham's offspring are the world changers. Who are Abraham's offspring? Not the Jew. They're not the offspring. Oh, he has those Jews. It's those of faith. Those are the world changers, not the people who are just because they're born under a certain nationality. People of faith are world changers. They're going to be what? A blessing to the world. See, the church, the devil gets people to believe the church is a curse, but people don't understand to know if it wouldn't be for the church, everything would have done rotted. We're blessing the world. So God's testing Abraham. And he said, Abraham, and he said, here am I. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt sacrifice on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And so Abraham rose early in the morning and went and told Sarah what God said and asked her permission. If it was okay, if he obeyed God, because it's 50-50, you know, in the home. And you have to get in, a man and wife have to be in agreement for the guy to do it. Well, it's amazing. I've listened to marriage seminar material and stuff, read some books and things on them. It's funny, they never talk about this. This is never mentioned, never one time is ever mentioned in a marriage seminar. Should be mentioned in every marriage seminar. If we're going to live by faith, you know, God's going to tell you to do some things. I'm going to tell you, sometimes you just have to go do it. You have to walk by faith. You're going to have to walk by faith. One of the real problems that we deal today with in the American church, women pay more attention to God than men do. When it comes to spiritual things, most of the time the women are taking the spiritual head of things, which really isn't good. It don't work. It don't work. It's designed for the man to be leading the thing spiritually. That's what's designed. That's how it's designed. The man is supposed to be. If anybody's going to hear from God first, it ought to be. You know, the man. Abraham gets called to God. Abraham don't know that he's supposed to put Ishmael out, and he doesn't know he's supposed to. His wife has to tell him. Why? Because he likes that boy. He said, oh, God, you know, God, I don't. God says, no, you got to get with the program, boy. Because he gets over there, and he wants to, oh, man, you know, got to keep Ishmael. What trouble he'd have if he kept Ishmael. There would have never been an Israel. That ought to have been a mess. That would have never happened. And Ishmael would have taken over and killed everybody else off. Isaac wouldn't have lived probably 4 years old. He'd have been dead. And Ishmael would have been the killer. But God had to tell him what to do. God had to say, hey, hold it. Hold it, Abraham. You got to do it. You know, it's number one. Look at it. Sarah didn't do it. Sarah told him what his job was to do, and for him, he had to do it. You know, because you know what? If Abraham wouldn't have obeyed God in that thing would have never worked. If Abraham wouldn't have been the one to put out, he'd have blamed Sarah all the time for it. Yeah, it was Sarah's fault. No, it isn't. You get off your lazy butt, boy. You deal with it. You're the man in charge. You're responsible for this one. And so we need to, these are things that we need to learn. Abraham takes a responsibility. It said he got up. Now he says, then he took, he said, it said, then he said, in verse 2 there, he said, now take your son, your only son, whom you love. He told him, look, you love him. He didn't love him. I'm sure this man loved his son. He said, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt sacrifice. You know, you look back, he had just put Ishmael out. And God says, okay, now I want you to take the guy you got left, the one you love, and I want you to go offer him as a sacrifice. Woo! This is fun. Things are getting good now. But Abraham, I want you to see this. We look at the natural, we think, oh, how could you do such a thing? If you don't understand that, you don't understand faith. This now, hey, look, I'm not saying to knock anybody. I'm just telling you, you've got to learn to reason things by faith. If you can't see this story by faith, you don't know a thing about it. All to you is a nice little story, and people say, ooh, isn't that neat? But can you go where Abraham goes? I say, yes, you can. We can go where Abraham went. The story's told so we can go where Abraham went. Our faith can go where we'll do anything for God. Hallelujah. And God will bless us. We can do anything and God will bless us. Whatever He says to do, we'll just go do it. This is what the story's about. So, it says third verse. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. What God tells him one day, the next day, he's packing bags and we're going to do it. Oh. Most people today, they'd be calling prayer change. And I pray, would you please pray? They'd be doing all kind of things, you know. Abraham didn't go tell mama. God said, go do this. He ain't going to get, you know, this is me and God. God said to do it. And so he immediately goes, does it. Just gets up in the morning. Takes two guys with him and his son, goes, cuts the wood up. See, he's acting, you know what? This man is acting out, he's going to do the will of God. Yet he believes God will raise his son from the dead, but he's going to do the will of God. See, most people say, well, you know, God wants me willing to do it, but he really don't want me. He just wants me willing. Did you ever hear that? Okay, that's a nice lie from hell. God wants you willing, but he wants you to act out the whole thing like you're going to do it. Most people never act any of it out. Why? Because they were never willing. He wants you willing to do it. And you know, sometimes you're going to have to carry stuff out. You're going to have to do what don't seem comfortable to the flesh. If you want a Christianity that's comfortable to the flesh, we got some nice denominational churches you can go to right here in town and just, you know, go there. That's not the Christianity we have. It's not about comfort to the flesh. A lot of the Spirit-filled got into that today. They're into the comfort of the flesh. We have the Laodicean church today. A lot of it's Laodicean, and I'm talking about Spirit-filled. I'm not knocking some denomination. It's about all comfort, money, stuff, things. We have all the stuff. It's nice and comfortable. I'm going to start you. Abraham got all the stuff. He got the money, but he's not about comfort. When you're asked to do such things, where do you go to the place of comfort naturally? There's no natural comfortable place to walk in this. The only place there is comfort is in the Spirit. That's the only place. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the only place it is. He's walking there. He's walking in that place. He's going to the place where he's going to see his son raised from the dead. I'm going to go watch a resurrection. I'm going to go watch a resurrection. Most people, their whole idea is, God asked me to do this. Well, how's that going to work? And they get into that thinking right away. Right away they go to the thinking. Why? They don't have the thinking of faith. God asked me to do something because he wants me to succeed. He wants to bless me. I have never done anything or walked in an area where God tested me in that it didn't lead me to something greater and a greater blessing. Always does. Because why? It leads you to a level of greater faith. Years ago, it used to be like this. We used to, if kids passed the test, they went to the next grade. Now, that's different today. We can't use that as an analogy because today you can fail every test in your past. And they'll even give you diplomas, doctorates, anything you want. Be a moron. You just have the money to go to the school. That's all you need. Just get the money to go to the school. You don't have to do anything. Abraham doesn't think 2 seconds about this. This guy gets up, packs his lunch, gets everybody together, went out for the bus, got on the bus, and we're gone. We're gone to Mount Moriah. Now, I want you to understand this. I'm not going to go through. You can read the rest of the story. Abraham is traveling a place that's about 42, 43 miles away from where he's at. It takes him 3 days. He has 3 days. Doesn't change his opinion. He gets to that place. He doesn't have a thought in his mind. He gets to that place. What is he? His son goes, "Hey, Dad. He said, "We're going to go up here and sacrifice." "Hey, Dad, where's the sacrifice?" Now, some say that he could have been up to 19 years old at the time. I don't think he was probably that old. There's some say could be that old. But, you know, he's not some little kid. But here's a kid obedient to his father. Here's a child. You know, it's like we don't know nothing about this obedient stuff today, you know. We see what we see today is what Paul said. We see children disobedient to parents. That's Paul said was going to turn out to be, you know, people be disobedient. This boy crawls on the altar. This boy, why? You know why he's done this? Because this boy has lived with a man of faith. This is why it don't work today. This is why a lot of the disobedience going on. Kids have never been raised in a household of faith. They haven't been raised in a household of faith. You know, I was thought about with our kids. I never, you know, easy they grew up. Something would happen to them, and we would pray for them for healing. I never heard a kid say, no, we want to go to the doctor. Please let's go to the doctor. I want to go to the doctor. You should have, they saw the household of faith how things worked. They learned how things worked. They saw how we would believe for finances. We taught them, our kids would believe for stuff, and it would show up. They learn how. They learn about faith, the household of faith. Well, why would you want to do something else? There's people, oh, you send your kids to school and they'll just get, you know, all the bad stuff at school, the bad kids at school. I'm going to tell you what, I have more influence over my kids than any sinner in a school. If you believe they have more, you got it. You'll have everything your mouth is saying. Because those kids ain't only in that school. You can't hide your kid in a cave somewhere. And if you do, they're worse off. God asked me, he said, "Don't you think you can get your kids around? I can't take care of them." Well, our kids went to school and didn't say, "You know, all the other kids get to go to the doctor. Why don't we? Why don't we get to get down there and get the shots too? Come on, Dad, I want the shot." You know, God. I only want as much money as we can grubble up or figure out how to get. I don't want to, you know, this faith stuff. I don't. No, they learned. They could believe God for things. They learned that. Well, see, they learned about God, and it inbred in them obedience. You have to beat them to be obedient. They learned God was good, and God would do what he said. They saw it in their parents believing God. They would practice it, and they would see it. Most kids grew up today and never saw their parents really believe for anything. They just work jobs just like everybody else. They never, anything outside of what their job can give them, they don't have. They can't get anything beyond that because their faith is all in that. Man, we had to step out beyond. The job wasn't given enough. Had to go outside, man. How to do something. We had to believe God. And then God told me, he said, "I don't care how much you make. You always got to believe for things outside of what you're making. You got to have your faith out there extended beyond that." So I learned to do that. Didn't, you know, I wouldn't sit around and try to figure out to save money to do all kinds of different things. I'd say, "Okay, God, I need money to do this or that." And it'd show up. But I learned how to walk by faith. I'd start planning to do it, taking vacations. You know, every time we go to take a vacation, Wanda and I, we don't sit around and save, figure out how to save up money for vacation. We plan the vacation. The money comes. Everybody's waiting to save it. We can get it all. Then we're going to go do this. Well, what do you happen when the bank fails? What are you going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to be just like the world is. You ain't going to have no dad do nothing. And your relatives look around and say, "See that faith stuff in God don't work." Say, "Excuse me, but you never saw any faith in God." I'll get back behind the pulpit here again. I don't. No, you want to always step out beyond where you're at. See, people, you know, God can bring people into obedience. It works. So our children learn really to follow things of God based upon faith. It was the life of faith that made the difference. That's why I continue to walk in faith. People will see that the faith... See, outside we have all this stuff going on and coming against the church. The church wants to figure... The church's big fault. We've been fighting legal battles instead of spiritual battles. We have been fighting back by faith, by walking by faith. We've been fighting back to get lawyers to give us the right to preach the gospel, to give us the right. We're getting lawyers. We got to do all this stuff all the time, and they're doing this. And what happens? People ain't walking by faith. You know, I don't see Paul got a lawyer and asked if it was okay. Said, well, we ain't going to say nothing to him. We ain't going to go to school and preach nothing because if you did, no, we don't get the lawyer to say we're allowed to do it. You know, people say, you know, today, isn't it miraculous, man? I mean, there's an earthquake and the prison opened and Paul and Silas came out. That can't happen today because the Christians would never preach and get put in prison. Amen. Good preaching. No, not without a lawyer first saying you're allowed to. But see, this is why is Abraham is an image of faith. His son says, Dad, where's the sacrifice? His answer, God's going to provide it. In other words, God's doing this. This isn't Dad's thing. This is a God thing we're doing here. God's going to provide. God's going to take care of this thing. He's focused. I'm trusting God. I'm not going to get over in the reasoning game. He loves his son, but I ain't going there. I'm not going there. Can you imagine what it was? We have no encounter up to this time that Isaac had seen any supernatural manifestations himself. But Isaac gets to see an angel appear. I'm going to tell you, this was a life changer for Isaac because Isaac gets introduced to the angel of the Lord. Isaac, now, this is the heir. This stuff Dad's been doing is true. Lots of times kids never find out it's ever true because they ain't ever seen it in their parents. It never manifested. Kids need to see manifestations of the Holy Ghost. They need to see them. If you can't do it, they can't see it. If you obey, I guarantee you, if you obey God in all that He will test you to do and have you do, I will guarantee you, you will have supernatural manifestations. I'll guarantee you just as sure as the sun will come up in the morning. See, children need to see God. This man's obeying God. This is the heir. This heir needs to know that this God isn't somebody his daddy just serves. Most kids grow up and they don't know God at all. I've met kids in Christian homes that they don't know there's a God. They have no experience with God whatsoever. It's all mom and dad say, we believe God did this and we did that. God's good. I was born and raised in a household. They told us how nice God was. I grew up hating God. Oh, you need to be saved. You'll end up in hell and all this kind of stuff. But we never had a manifestation of God. God was never real there. It wasn't my parents were bad parents, but God was never real there. He didn't show up. When I got born again, God moved in my house. How could God be in me and not in my house? If God is in me, like the scripture says, Kenneth Hagin says this, he's not a spiritual hitchhiker. He's going to manifest himself if you will allow him. He doesn't manifest himself just because he's there. God reveals himself from your state if you will allow him. If you do things that allow him to show himself, then he reveals himself. If you don't do anything to allow him to show himself, he doesn't show up. Although he's there. He's there. He's in you. Look, my parents were born again. But there was no manifestations. There was none of those things. It didn't happen. Well, they were told it wasn't supposed to happen. It wasn't supposed to go on. And you know what? All their kids went out and lived like hell in the world. And you know what? They didn't come to God. None of us came to God till we found out God was real. We could have found that out when we were little. Amen? We could have found that out. See, that's huge. It's huge in a child when they're young and when they're little. That God's manifested. And God will manifest. That's one thing as we had with our children. God manifested. God showing Himself. See, folks, that's what we need today. The life of faith makes God real. Without faith, God's not real. It's not enough to say, I got born again. God became real in my life when I got born again. My wife could see certain things about the change of my life or in that stuff, which influenced. In other words, anytime God's responded to by faith, something is going to manifest. It has to. If nothing manifests, then it's a good chance faith was not involved in it. Things will manifest. I'm just telling you, they will. When I got born again, my life changed. I passed from death unto life. You know, I didn't get born again and say, you know, I don't like to go to church and I don't go to church. And I don't. You don't need to go. You can be a good Christian and not go to church. That didn't happen. I was already a sinner. I found out the life that you live over there. You don't, you know. Well, my desire, in my heart, I wanted to follow God. I wanted to walk with God. I'm saved, but I don't read the Bible because, you know, it's just not. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, there's no outward appearance that would tell me that you are. If you don't like the Bible and you don't think it's important to read, there's a good chance you don't know God or want to have anything to do with God. So outwardly, you can't convince me that you're saved. It's impossible. Because you have no outward manifestation of God in you. See, there's supposed to be outward manifestation. And what would I do if I got up and preach and teach and never had anointing? Somebody after a while would say, you know, some people don't like the anointing. They don't like what it does. But the only one thing you got to admit, I'm anointed. Whether people like it or not. But the whole thing, what would you do if there's no manifestation of nothing? Nothing ever works. You know, I'd have quit following God a long time ago if nothing ever worked. But things consistently came to pass. Every time God led me into a promise. You know, God didn't lead me into 500 promises. He led me into a promise one at a time. He'd lead me into a promise. Learn to enjoy this one. Hey, now I got another one for you. How about this? I would learn promises and learn to stand and have that promise and go after that promise. You know, I don't care how many promises. Some people, you know, I never got into the promise box things, man. I'm going to tell you what, because most people have promise boxes, they don't live in one of them. I don't need a million promises. I need to learn how to live in one of them at least. Get something. Get this thing working. Learn to operate it. Become proficient. Kenneth Hagin made this statement as a little kid, Christian, you know, Christian-wise. He said, most Christians are the jack of all trades and the masters of none. He said, that's all they ever become. And now, you know what, as I've grown up now, he said about that, I look out today and say, my God, he's exactly right. That's majority of Christianity has mastered nothing. They don't have one area of their life where they have mastered how to walk and believe and trust God in. There's areas, I'm going to tell you, the area of health, I learned to master. God told me to. Learn to master. Why? So I could teach it to people. We don't have a lot of people out here who have mastered it. There's not a lot of Christians in the church world have mastered walking over in the areas and understanding how divine health was. When I read, first time started reading after John G. Lake, and I understood John G. Lake, he grasped, and he got, when it came to the healing and healing anointing, he understood. And I thought, my God, he had such a grasp on that. I used to think, I want to get that kind of grasp on that thing. Healing's important. Healing is not important to most of the church world today. They only want it when they get sick. And then they got to mess around to try to get something. It's not important. It's hugely important. It's enormously important. It's learning about that. Learning to master it. My God, because look what the devil's done to our nation with sickness and disease. It's bankrupting our nation. And the church is right. He's helping them bankrupt it. The church, my God, you got rid of the doctors. The church had all died. We couldn't make it. Now, folks, I'm not against doctors. We need to wake up to some of this and understand these things. God isn't out here. You know, God can't get us to master things. You know, people when people are they're here, they're there, and this and that and the other thing, and nobody's becoming a master. We got to become a master. This is my life here in faith. I want to live long enough to do the whole will of God, not part of it. I want to live long enough to. I want to have enough money while here, so if God asks me to give some money, at least I have something to give. I want enough to be able to, if He says, you have to give $10,000, that I can believe for $10,000. that I can believe. And if he says, hey, put all the money you have in the bank, I want you to give it away, I want to be able to say, okay, we'll do that. I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to walk there. We're out here trying to all this kind of stuff and spiritual stuff and things we call spiritual, but yet everyday life, what's around us, we don't have a grasp on. Now, I started off, Juan and I believe in God for $20. That was an enormous thing. That was a huge test in our life of faith. That was big. I never believed for nothing like that before. But we decided what we were going to do is believe God. Her and I, we're going to believe God. $20, get some blinds for a window. That's what we're going to do. This is our biggie. Folks, that was our biggie. But you know what? We stood and believed God and got the $20. God, somewhere out there, an angel found $20 somewhere, blew it right up the street to Wanda's feet. Wanda's walking down the street, ain't nobody else, street's empty. $20 bill blows up to her feet. Now, do you think that don't change somebody's life? You know, the kids were with her at the time that that happened. You think that didn't affect our kids? Faith will change your children's lives. You walk by faith, they need to see some miracles. We don't have that in the church world today. The church world is all, be nice Christians, live good, yeah. We need to get some faith out here. So people see some things happen. That changed our kid. And I mean, Wanda and I surely made a big deal of that. But we learned this. Anything God did for us was a big deal. People today, God does things for them all the time, spirit-filled Christians, and they're ungrateful and unthankful. They'll say, oh yeah, God did this nice thing. They don't make no big deal out of it. I'll tell you, anything God would do for Ed's a big deal, because I couldn't figure out what on earth he'd have wanted done that for this scumbag. If he would have gave me what I deserved. There's times in my Christian walk where I went along and did some of the dumbest things in the world, but believed him and he blessed me. It's like, wow, is he good or what? Because I wouldn't have done it for me. I'd have said, Ed, you're an idiot. But God would bless me. And I want you to get it. Let's come to this place. If Abraham could walk to that place, you and I got to see ourselves as we can walk to that place. And we can come to that place of faith. We can come to that place. We are in the days of the supernatural. But it will not manifest without faith. I don't care how miraculous God wants to move. God will only move. Folks, I got to live as a young boy in the greatest healing revival that ever took place in America in the 1950s. And I want you to know this. It manifested through the people who walked by faith and not the ones who didn't. You went to the churches that people didn't believe God healed. They didn't have it. Richard Spangler told me, he said, because I talked to him about the things that went on, and I saw as a little boy, went to an Oral Roberts meeting and that kind of stuff. You know, my parents, they went to those meetings, but they was like, we didn't know about this, you know. Because, you know, in those churches, you know, they didn't know it was devil, God, or who did it. They had no clue. This stuff was going on. And I got to see those kinds of things. I thought, man, this is awesome. Richard Spangler told me, because I said in the 50s about the different things that happened through this valley here. But you need to understand, majority of the church world in this valley knew nothing about it. Because the churches weren't in faith. People weren't in faith. They weren't in faith with it. So it didn't show up. Richard said, man, I went to church, he said, all the time. He said, we didn't know this stuff was going on back then. That went on back then? Yes, it did went on back there. That's what was happening. There was a move of God. But he went to a church. Wow, they weren't in the flow of it. They didn't know. You can get a move of God can come to this valley down here, and I will guarantee you, most of the churches ain't going to know about it. They'll sit around and look at people around. Well, if it's God's will and He wants it to happen over here, He'll come over here. See, we got to change these things. We got to change the way we think. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's been wanting me to shake things up, and I'm doing pretty good at it, ain't I?